Mr. Snowball, Reel 2. We're talking about searchlights and their crew. You said you were a spotter.
That's
and
right.
You literally sit on a chair.
That's right, and look for the planes coming round, yeah.
And there was no communication other than voice.
Voice. Yeah, they shout hard.
The other spotter, you said there were two of you.
Yes.
Was he involved at the same time, or did you exchange?
No, both involved at the same time to look for the plane.
It was all on eyesight.
It was all done on eyesight, and you had the hearing. You think you knew where it was.
The searchlight itself, can you describe it?
Big round mirror at the back, and a big glass open door at the front, and inside you had your rods. And coming away from that was the long arm at the end, which is a whale. And that was where the man had to operate the searchlight. He had to walk backwards and forwards with it, or turn it up and down, wherever, whatever he was told to do, he had to do. And once he got onto the target, it was his job to keep on that target.
Did it work in conjunction with the other searchlights in the troop?
Yeah.
Or was it just a single light on
them? No, we were all on the same thing.
So that if you lit up a plane, the others would...
The others would come on as well. Yes.
The officers that you mentioned, do you recall your first two officers? Troop officers?
My officers? Mr. Marriott, who he belonged to Sunderland, and I can't remember.
But were they good officers?
Oh, yes.
And you did all the training for this from the drill hall?
From the drill hall, outside, in there, except when you went on these weekend camps.
Do you recall where some of the weekend camps were that you went to?
One was not very far out of Sunderland, at Claydon. You can still see where it was now, because there's a very big chimney there. Very, very big. And you can see it for miles. And that's where the very first weekend camp I did was on there.
Now, was that a regimental camp? Company camp?
Just a company camp.
And you say you don't remember exactly how many searchlights to a troop and how many to a company?
No, I can't, no.
It must be quite a number, though. Quite a few.
There's quite a few.
In the weekend camps, did the training differ from what you were doing at night?
No, just the same. Only you were out more or less in the field then. Doing it.
And they put you up in tents?
Yeah, tents. That's all you had, yeah. Tents.
Not particularly warm, I would have thought.
No, not in the winter time, or if it was wet or anything like that. Well, you had to just put up with it.
Where was your first annual camp?
Right, we're around the Middlesbrough area for our first camp, which was 2 weeks.
And which year would this be?
1937, my first camp. 1937.
And this was this a full regimental camp?
No,
large camp.
My first camp was 1938, because I didn't join until 1938. So that was the first camp I had.
And what would you do at camp? I mean, you had a fortnight together, or what?
You had your normal drill, and you're looking for aeroplanes that were around at the time, the RAF, you say. And you did more or less battle conditions.
And I think you said airplanes came over towing the target.
Towing the target behind them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So were you working with anti-aircraft people as well?
No, we weren't. Not at the camp, no. Just on your own.
So purely a searchlight action?
Searchlight action, yeah.
And what was the accommodation in the camp?
Oh, sometimes, it was tents. I only did one, I think. Because the following year was calling up time. We were called out in, as I say, when the crisis was on. Around Middlesbrough way. And then, of course, when we were called up for war, we were at Catterick. Our headquarters, the regimental headquarters, was at Catterick Aerodrome. And our troop headquarters at the time was at Hornby Castle, which is still marked on the Year One map today. And I was in troop headquarters at first, as a batman to the two officers that were there, Mr. Pinckney and Mr. Malliot. And then I got put on the searchlights. We had a searchlight at the troop headquarters, of course, just to see it.
The conditions, again, were pretty severe in the autumn of...
Well, as far as we were concerned, it wasn't so bad, because we were actually... Galilee Castle was the headquarters, and our troop headquarters was at Hornby Castle. So we were in part of the castle. There was still people living in, but our headquarters was in part of that castle.
Did you realise by now that war was coming?
Yes. Yes.
How did you feel about that?
Not the first time when we went, because when he came back with that bit of paper, we were happy as dicky birds because you were coming home in a week. And you got paid. But the second time, you could say it was coming, yes.
And your feelings about that, because obviously you were going to be drawn into it.
Well, you didn't think much about it at the particular time, because you didn't know exactly what was coming. But I say this, that when he brought that piece of paper back in 1938, we had another 12 months to really get armed up, and we didn't have much then. So it's a good job we brought that one, Peter, back, in my opinion.
Have things improved from just the voice communication by
that
time?
Oh, yes, you had things that you could hear. Big round three, round like ears, we'll say. And people had their earphones on, and they were guided round to the noise of that.
Sound equipment, location.
Sound equipment, location equipment, yes, yes.
Were the searchlights still the same, though, the same size? And
same size, yes, no change there. No change. Later on, they did become automatic with the location system.
Do you recall where you were and what you were doing when Chamberlain made the announcement of war?
We were at Catterick. We were all around the Catterick Aerodrome in different places on the search sites. And that's where we heard it, on the Sunday. I thought, oh, this isn't going to be more than a week.
You had been, in effect, called up immediately prior to that, hadn't you? To the 3rd of September.
Yes, we were called up on Thursday. of that week. I remember that lady because I'd been playing football for an IOGT team up in Searchworth here. We had the second practice match on the Wednesday, and on the Wednesday night I was picked to play in the first team on the Saturday. Unfortunately, on the Thursday, the call came for to report with full kit to the Livingston Road. And we left there, oh, it was late at night, in buses, convoy. We didn't know where we were going, but we did find out that's where we were.
And was that back to Kattrick, down to Kattrick?
Kattrick, yes, but around to Kattrick.
How did your parents feel now? I mean, you're now in effect a regular soldier.
Well, I don't know what they felt like. I don't think they were too hardy, but of course it was a case of everybody had to do it, whether they wanted to do it or not. Those that didn't want to do it had to go down the pit. And I didn't fancy going down the pit. I was just as pleased I joined the Territorians.
What were you doing when you got to Kattrick at that time? What were you doing there?
Well, you were waiting for enemy planes coming around to try and get them. But also, you had what they called a beacon system, where searchlights had a specific place to be, a specific angle, degree, different ones, over Kattrick Aerodrome or Laming Bar for the RAF planes coming back that were crippled, and that was to show them when the lights where the lights converged, the aerodrome was there underneath. We did quite a lot of that.
And being close to Kattrick Airfield, as you say, you must have seen one or two of those planes coming in then.
Oh, you saw quite a lot coming in, yes. Quite a lot. Some were... you could hear a lot of them, and they were having difficulty. But that was part of the job.
You were defending Kattrick Airfield?
Defending Kattrick Airfield, because they were... The searchlights were right around... Our company was right around Kattrick Aerodrome. There was other companies, of course, different places. There was Dishfoot, there was Laming. We used to make the beacons for those three aerodromes.
Was there any enemy activity in those early days?
No. Nothing at all to talk about. My wife was walking with a friend along the main road here, and there was a German plane came right along the road, flatly followed they dashed somewhere else, you know, down the street, and they got the shock of their lives. But he was brought down at Ryop with the heavy attack guns. They had a heavy attack down there. He was brought down there.
When the war started and you moved to Kattrick, were you still spotting?
No.
What were you doing
then,
now?
Not then. I was in troop headquarters at that particular time. And then...
What were you doing there?
As I say, abutment to the two officers at the particular time.
Can we look at your batman role? What kind of duties had you to perform for the officers?
Well, you had to clean their uniforms and their boots and things like that, and look after their meals. All that had to be... You were a servant to them. And sometimes you had to go on what they call telephone duty, so you were up all night waiting for a call coming through on the telephone. But
and the accommodation, I think, you said was good.
It was part of the castle, part of Hornby Castle, yes.
So you didn't have the mud and the weather that...
No. They did on the sites where the searchlights were, but we were all right.
What was the food like?
Oh, quite good.
What might you get for breakfast?
Depended on your cook.
That did each tube have its own cook?
Yes, they all had their own cooks, yeah.
And they may have been trained or not trained cooks?
Well, they weren't trained when they first came. They were trained while they were with the unit.
What might you get for breakfast?
Eggs, bacon, sausage, anything like that. Fried bread, porridge.
And for your main meal, your dinner in the middle of the day?
The usual dinner. Vegetables, potatoes and things, yeah.
And was there a tea? High tea?
You used to get... Yes, you got quite high tea. I remember one particular meal, and people used to laugh at me. It was jam and bread, fried in butter with custard. And when I came home, it was lovely. It was absolutely gorgeous. When I came home, I told my wife about this, and I said, you make some. And we had some. And she thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, when we first heard jam and bread fried in butter, I thought, like, oh, dear me. Well, it was nice. But you had quite a good variety of meal. Quite a good variety of meal.
As a batman, what time would you need to get up on a morning?
Oh, very early. Well, it depended a lot on if they were called out at during the night or anything, you see. But very early on the morning, because you had all their equipment and everything out set, ready for them just to jump into.
And did you have to wake them up, actually? Was that your job as well, waking them?
Sometimes. But sometimes they were up. They were all right.
And presumably you'd help them with the uniform then?
Yes. They put the uniforms on themselves and things, but well, they've all their belts browned and polished and brasses polished and everything for them, as well as our own.
Did you have to give them a cup of tea when they woke?
Oh, yes.
That was part of the routine.
Oh, yes. I have one myself as well.
After that, after you'd done that, got them up and breakfasted, what would your duties be for the rest of the morning, say?
Not a great lot, really. Not a great lot. But I was moved from the troop headquarters to Gatherley Castle. I was promoted as a Lance Corporal.
We'll come back. I just wanted to finish this day of, you know, getting a picture of what an officer's batman might be involved in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting them ready, getting them out, as you say. You would have a lot of time on your hands, have you?
Yeah, hard, but there was little bits of jobs that wanted to do and around the place, keeping the place clean and tidy, because it was somebody else's home that we were in, actually. So you had to keep it as neat and tidy as you possibly could.
And the rest of the day, was it basically the same routine? They would obviously be
every
coming back.
Every day was more or less the same, yes. Unless there was any calling up. At that particular time, there was no German aircraft coming over that way.
Did you have to go out with them to wherever they were going? Did you go with them?
No.
Or with him?
No. Stayed in the troop headquarters. There was a sergeant there in charge.
How long were you there, troop headquarters?
Oh, yeah. Probably about 12 months. Then I went to the company headquarters in Gatherley Castle.
And you were promoted, you said?
I was promoted there, yeah.
What was your job there?
First stripe. I was sent on a course to York to be a physical training instructor. Now, I went there, and when I come back, I had to take all the intake that were coming in, the people that had been called up, I had to take them out first thing on the morning before breakfast and exercise them, give them all the different exercises.
What was the training they gave you on the course to be a PT?
On the course, everything. When I first went there, they said, when you're finished at night, you can go out, do what you like. When we were finished at night, we couldn't move. We were so stiff. But you gradually got used to it, you see, the parallel bars, the ropes, the horse, and the different exercises you had to do. And of course, when you came back, you took all these intake out of their tents, get them up, out before any breakfast, doesn't matter what the weather was like, in their shorts, and put them through their paces. It was quite enjoyable.
Well, that take up most of the day?
Oh, no, this was just on the morning before breakfast, just before breakfast. Then after
What would you do after breakfast?
After that, you went on different duties, whatever there was in the headquarters.
Do you recall any particular duties you were on?
Well, I did. I was made up the sergeant when I came back from York, and I was sent on a gas course as well to learn about the different types of poison gases.
How was that done? How did they teach you that? How did you, you know, what were you doing on the course?
Well, they told you exactly what mustard gas was like and what tear gas was like, and they took you into a airtight place with your gas mask on, which was all right. But then they said, put two fingers in the side of your gas mask and just pull it out a little bit and let it go back. Well, that little bit allowed the tear gas to go in, and it did make your eyes smart. You were glad to get out and get your gas mask off. But you had to make sure that the glasses were clean and that you had special stuff to put on so that they wouldn't
film up. What kind of gases were they teaching you about? You've mentioned tear gas, but what are the gases?
Oh, heavens, all of them. All of them.
Was there still a fear then that Germans might
use
gas?
Oh, yes, that they might use gas, yes. You had, went through all that, and then when I came back, I had to teach the other troops all about this gas.
And were they put through this gas hut?
No. We didn't have that facility.
Well, you had quite rapid promotion once it started.
I did, yes. Actually, what I had to do two or three times was to go and bring prisoners back. Prisoners of ours that had deserted. I was up at Bellenny prison in Scotland, Glasgow, twice. Once to take one of our lads that had been given the glass house up there.
What had he done?
Deserting, and they got brought back, and
you remember his name?
Oh, I can't remember his name, no. I can picture the sight inside Bellenny prison. It was terrible. Once you got inside there was like cages at the side, and they were full of men, soldiers, that were there. I was glad to get out, because the sergeant and the sergeant major in charge of the Bellenny prison, of course, when these lads came in, took one in, there was others as well, spoke to them very, very nicely, and then their voices raised, and they had to start and do things at the double. No walking about, everything was done at the double. And I thought, bye, I'm pleased I'm going out of here today, not stopping in. Yeah, and another time I had to go up to Glasgow to fetch one of our prisoners back again. He'd deserted, he'd been caught by the police, and he was being held in a castle up there. And I had to go over there and bring him back. Of course, you had to watch them on the train and all, say that they didn't
Were they manacled or?
Go off again.
Were they manacled? Were they?
No, no.
And as an escort, there was you. Did you have anyone else with
no,
you?
No, just me. Just me. I came back one time, and I went back. I came back on the morning, and I went back in the afternoon again to somebody else.
Were these people from Scotland themselves? Were the Scots?
No, so there was one particular one was from Sunderland. They call him Switcher Lincoln. He must have done half a dozen turns up there. They got sick of sending them up there at the finish, and they put them on with the Sergeant Douglas and myself, making them fill sandbags, running up there with them, emptying them, running back again, filling them up all at the double. And I felt sorry for them, actually. But there was one day he started to vomit blood, and took him to the doctor, Dr. Burns, it was at the time, and took him to him, and he says, oh, he's all right, go on, get him out.
It was quite harsh treatment.
So what could I do? It had to be harsh treatment, because, as I say, he'd been about half a dozen times up there through deserting. He was forever deserting, always. And he was only a little titch, just a little fella.
Was this company headquarters you were in at this time?
Company headquarters in Galilee Castle, yeah.
And was it kind of a provost job that you had? Or
no, I was just one of the... There was no provost police or nothing. It was I was just one of the unit. That's all.
And what other tasks were you performing whilst you were there at the castle?
Well, as I say, I took them on a morning, and then we went... We did various things. I'd been on the gas course, so I'd take them on gas. We had Bren guns, rifles, to strip down to the last nut and bolt, and learn how to put them, take them down, and learn how to put them all back again, every piece. And you used to have little bits of competitions, see who could do it the fastest. And I could take a rifle right down to the last nut and bolt, and put it all together again. I can't do it now, but I did then.
And company headquarters, how was it organised? Would it have a company office, for example?
Oh, yes, yeah, the company. This was when Captain Story, he later became a major Story at Gatherley Castle, and he was the commanding officer then, and you had normal duties, drill parades, marching, etc., rifle parades, slope arms, present arms, and all things like that.
But having a company headquarters, did it have its own searchlight or searchlights?
No, they were all in the
different... They were in the troops.
They were all in the troops, right around.
So was it a big staff at the company headquarters?
Oh, there was quite a lot there. Yes, there was quite a lot there.
Who would be there in the sense?
Quite a few officers, there was quite a few men. As I say, all these intake that were coming in, they were based at the castle at first, till they were sent out onto different sites. They had to be trained first.